The June heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is officially on the rise. Don't wait for the AC to start working overtime to realize the windows are failing. Call Window Nation now. During the June sale, buy four windows and get four free. That's right. Upgrade the entire house and get half of those windows absolutely free. Plus, get started with zero down and no payments or interest for 2 full years. The experts at Window Nation provide a weather-tight seal in just one day or less. Beat the heat and save big on those utility bills. Schedule your fast, free consultation today at windownation.com.
You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And it's exciting Tuesday here on the Go Birds pod, briefly titled the Goal Birds pod over the weekend. Shout out to Tucker, thought that was a clever name. And, you know, I gotta say, it was really, really cool watching the World Cup game at the Link on Sunday night. Obviously, that was 2 days ago, but I just thought it was such a good example of how whenever we talk about the idea of the Eagles putting a dome on the Link, right, or doing some type of roof, right, so that they could host world-class events, World Cup finals, you know, big boxing matches, whatever, right, NBA All-Star games, Super Bowls. It was such a cool example, I thought, of for the people who say, well, why would you want big events, right? Like, why would you want NFL fans from other cities here? Why, like, who cares if they get this? Man, that was awesome. And it was a good example of how Philadelphia can really dominate at these big events. Like, whenever Philly has these events, and I'm sure we'll see it with the All-Star game later in the summer. I'm sure we will see it with the remaining World Cup games that'll be here, the round of 32 game, I believe, or is it round of 16? But the playoff type game that they'll have in the World Cup later, you'll see how awesome Philly is at these events. And I know, yes, they're hosting World Cup games now with no roof on the Link, right? But they'll get more of them once they eventually do. So didn't put it on Twitter just because didn't want to ruin the moment. But I just thought watching the crowd, watching the way everyone interacted outside the stadium, the videos, it was really, really cool. And I think once there is a dome on the Link or some type of roof, there will be more and more of these type of events. And Philly will get to continue to showcase just what a world-class sports city it really is. So obviously the game itself was exciting. 1-0 in the 89th minute. Felt bad for the Ecuador fans. Ecuador fans really showed out. But yeah, I just thought it was a really, really cool cool look for Philly. I thought they dominated it. But hopefully you guys had a good start to your week with a good Monday. As I said, today is a very exciting Tuesday, as depending when you're listening to this, it's Go Birds Mornings, the Go Birds show, me and of course James Seltzer, and we get to work with the legend Rhea Hughes hosting the morning show this morning. So if you're listening before 10 a.m. when you're done this, go and check out the morning show, or press pause on this and go to the morning show. We're going to be talking probably a lot of Eagles, a lot of Jalen Hurts, top 11 week this week. I'll be debuting my top 11 list later today on the afternoon show, so lots of ESP today on WIP. Good or a bad thing, depending who you ask. But morning show with James, and then I'll be on WIP later today from 3 to 4, revealing my top 11 for top 11 week. And man, oh man, it was tough to put that top 11 together. I really feel like there were three athletes that absolutely belong. Like, they are the clear-cut top three. And then there's guys that we agree are very good, a little difficult to place. But I had like six or seven guys that I was like, they have to be on it. And then I felt after that, we got a little into like resume, maybe not elite anymore, but have an argument for being on it. So it's always fun to put together a list. You know that about me. And it's always fun to rank things, especially the Philly sports players. So it's going to be a really fun week on WIP. I thought Monday was already a really fun start to the week. So go check out WIP now. Check out WIP all the time, but check it out today when I will be on. All right, let's get going and talk about some news with the Eagles, as on Monday, it was revealed what edge AJ Epenesa got from the Eagles in his one-year deal. He got a one-year, and this is according to SpoTrack, one-year, $1.4 million contract with $187,000 signing bonus and just under $700,000 guaranteed, came in at $687,000. So decent amount of money, not like a guaranteed to make the roster, but $600,000 or just about $700,000 guaranteed is not nothing. That's not chump change, right? They're not just handing that out to nobody. So he will have a very good chance to make the roster. Overall, his cap hit, obviously very low, $1.4 million. I don't know if they added an extra year to that or not, but even if they did, this is rounding errors we're talking about in terms of cap numbers. So he definitely, I mean, when he was going to sign with the Browns, and I don't believe the full details of the contract ever came out because he never signed it, but it was initially reported that he would get up to $5 million. Now, who knows, right? That could have been, it's really $1.5 million guaranteed and another $3.5 million if he plays every game and hits all these incentives. So maybe he didn't lose a ton of money, but the Eagles get him, it seems, for less than he would have got with the Browns. And that's because he failed the physical with the Browns, right? He came in and they ended up not signing him. Now, what's interesting about him failing the physical is he played 16 games last year. He played 17 games in 2024. In the first 4 years of his career, he played 14 games, 14 games, 15 games, and 15 games. So he's been out on the field the vast majority of the games he's been eligible to play in his career. Now, he's a part-time player, so it's not like he's playing, you know, 900 snaps a year, but he did play 438 snaps last year, and that was the second most of his career after playing the most snaps of his career in 2024 at 612. So he's played the most football of his football career over the past two seasons. And even though he's dealt with injuries, he's been healthy. Now, it was hard to find a complete breakdown of his injury history, but online it says he's dealt with a string of issues, including a concussion, a pectoral injury, a foot injury, and a neck issue. And apparently that neck issue lingered into the playoffs. He was evaluated mid-game, limited in practice, and he played, but it was something that they were monitoring. So obviously when it's a neck, that's always, I mean, every injury is serious, but clearly with the neck, you want to be especially careful. So maybe the Browns saw something they didn't like, but the Eagles willing to take that chance on him. I think they have a good medical staff, especially recently. They've been a pretty healthy team. Offensive line, you know, notwithstanding, but that's not really on them. So you get the $700,000 guaranteed for AJ Epenesa. He's going to get a good chance to make the team. And I think as of right now, he would be that fifth edge. So probably not great news for Brandon Graham as we continue to see if he will end up being in the building this year. Me and James talked about it briefly last week on the pod on whether or not BG would be open to being on the practice squad this year. And I do agree that. So I think one issue is this. One issue is the practice squad, I think, has a connotation on it that it really shouldn't have anymore. The practice squad really is just an extended roster spot. Like, veterans play on it. Veterans get paid to be on it. It's not the practice squad of old where you're barely making any money and you're barely on the team. Like, being on the practice squad is really just a roster machination. So I definitely understand why a player of BG's caliber, or I should say BG's resume with the team, still a very good player, I thought last year in the limited snaps, but I think we're more talking about his history with the team, why he wouldn't want to be on the practice squad. But I also just don't think it would be the slap in the face that it used to be like 5-6 years ago. So we'll see. I think the Eagles would probably like to have BG in the building. I think he's a valuable player in terms of being able to play defensive tackle and edge, give you 9 to 10 really quality snaps. He's a good locker room guy. But when you're giving AJ Epenesa, you know, almost $700,000 guaranteed, it becomes tougher to find a way on the 53 roster where BG will be on it. So those are the contract details for AJ Epenesa. All right, so I found this article on Monday and wanted to talk to you guys about it. So it was a Pro Football Focus article, and it was listing the most versatile players in the NFL. And been a lot of Cooper DeJean talk on the pod and on the Daily Bird. Go sign up to Go Birds Insiders. Link is in the podcast description. It's our fun community where we all hang out. And every morning I send an email with like 1,500 words of Eagles thoughts. So always a good time. But been a lot of Cooper talk recently because of the top 11, and I've kind of struggled on where to put him. But Pro Football Focus ranked the 10 most versatile players in the NFL, and they had Cooper DeJean on that list. So here's what they wrote about Cooper DeJean. Quote, Eagles coaches speak about Cooper DeJean with reverence because the scope of what they ask him to do from a schematic and physical standpoint is not normal. DeJean does everything except maybe man coverage at an elite level, and he's still very good playing man. If he's not the top tackling defensive back in the league, he's top three. You simply can't throw a screen in his direction and expect to get yards after the catch. His awareness in zone is where he really stands out. He knows exactly how offenses are trying to stress coverages with their pass concepts and takes away passing lanes, so even when he's not making plays on the ball, he's forcing quarterbacks to hold the ball. DeJean has mastered multiple positions in a complex Vic Fangio scheme and should be recognized as one of the league's best defenders. Last season, DeJean moved to outside corner with the Eagles, where in base, four defensive backs. Reportedly, DeJean has been playing safety in base in OTAs, end quote. So in there, you can see why Cooper is so valuable, right? And I think what the sentence that I think is so true in this is, you just can't throw a screen in his direction. You think of the big tackle against Derrick Henry. Like, how many times in the open field has DeJean made a huge has he made a huge open field tackle to limit a play, like Jamar Chase on fourth and one, right? Like, there's just been so many times where he's made big plays on fourth downs and in open space. And I think that's true. He's an elite tackling defensive back, and that's no small feat. Like, there are players like Asante Samuel who were, you know, Hall of Fame caliber type corner, not the best tackler. Now, he made plays in other ways, but having a defensive back that can tackle, man, that is such a huge bonus. And then how good he is in zone. And we know the Eagles do play quite a bit of zone. So he fits perfectly what the Eagles want. Now, that last part there, I think also is just an interesting kind of look at where Cooper might compare to some of the other most versatile players in the league. So DeJean moved to outside corner when the Eagles were in base. Reportedly, DeJean has been playing safety in base in OTAs. So it's not reportedly. That's where he's been. You know, I've been there. That's where he's been in base. But you look at where he lined up last year compared to the other most versatile players in the league, according to Pro Football Focus, and there is a clear distinction that he played slot way more than the other most versatile players, and he played safety way less than the other most versatile players. Now, the one player was somewhat comparable is Nick Emenwerry. So Nick Emenwerry of the Seattle Seahawks, rookie year last year, was unbelievable. He was ranked number one. I don't know if they did them 1 through 10, but he was the first player they wrote about. So the four players that they put that were on, or excuse me, the five players that they put on the defensive side of the ball besides DeJean were Nick Emenwerry, who played nickel, Kyle Hamilton, who's a nickel safety, Derwin James, who's a nickel safety, Josh Metellus from Minnesota, he is just a safety, and Devin Lloyd, the linebacker, I believe with Carolina last year. So five of the 10 players, or six of the 10 players on the defensive side of the ball, and of those six defensive players, five of them played a role similar to Cooper DeJean. So obviously, when you're listing the most versatile players, you're going to get guys that don't just play on the outside like Quinyon, guys that move all over the field. So if you look at where these versatile players lined up compared to Cooper, though, I think there is a pretty big distinct difference. So Nick Emenwerry last year lined up 113 times on the defensive line, 359 times in the box, 449 times at slot, but then just 16 times at wide corner and 7 times at free safety. So he did not really go back and play free safety. And that's similar to Cooper. Cooper played just one snap at free safety last year. But Derwin James and Josh Metellus from the Vikings, they lined up almost never at wide corner and lined up at free safety a lot more. So James last year, Derwin James, 132 times at defensive line, 309 times in the box, 369 times in the slot, 21 times out wide, and then 128 times at free safety. Metellus, 43 times defensive line, so not as much along the line, 315 times in the box, 124 times at slot, 35 times at wide corner, and 350 times at free safety. So Cooper was on the line 138 times, so more in line with Nick Emenwerry and Derwin James, but he was at slot 685 times. So he had almost 700 snaps in the slot. The other three combined here, Emenwerry, James, and Metellus, had around 900. So he almost played, and it's a little fudging the math here, but you get my point. He almost played the slot as much as those other three combined. And another main difference is he was at wide corner 245 times, which is something that Emenwerry, James, and Metellus just never did. I was surprised to see the 245 number at wide corner. He played 42 snaps at wide corner in week 12, 31 in week 13, and then 21 and 22 in week 6 or 7. So he did do it actually more than I expected. I feel like, in the past on this pod, we've talked about it, I view it as only that Dallas game, but he actually did line up wide a little more than I thought. So the 245 number is a little surprising, and then just one snap at free safety. So you look at how DeJean was used compared to his other players. This year, he should be used more in line with the more versatile players compared to how he was last year, because he will not be, in theory, playing almost any snaps out wide. That'll be Tariq Woolen taking that role, and then obviously Quinyon will be on the outside. And then when they're in base, he'll go to safety. So Metellus, 350 snaps at free safety. Derwin James, 128 snaps at free safety. Really only Nick Emenwerry didn't do it. We'll see if he does it more this year. But yeah, I think DeJean, in terms of being in line with these other extremely versatile players, I think you'll see a shift from him being at the wide corner to being at the free safety. Now, as is everything with the case this year with Cooper DeJean, let's talk about how these versatile players are paid compared to Cooper DeJean. So Cooper DeJean and Nick Emenwerry are the two players still on their on their rookie deal. And then Devin Lloyd, the linebacker, we're not going to talk about him because it's a different position. So Kyle Hamilton, who they list as a nickel safety, and if you look at it, right, he got a 4-year, $100 million deal, $48 million guaranteed, and a $25 million average. Derwin James got a 3-year, $75 million deal, which we talked about recently, $54 million guaranteed, and a $25 million average. And then Josh Metellus, who is more of just like a true safety, got 3 years, $36 million with $25 million guaranteed and a $12 million average. So you just look contractually here. It looks like Cooper is going to get around $25 million a year, around $50 million guaranteed. And then it really just comes down how many years, right? Like Derwin James got 3 years, $75 million. Kyle Hamilton got 4 years, $100 million. So the difference there is just the years. Now, I just realized I forgot to tell you where Kyle Hamilton lined up. That is my apologies on that one. Kyle Hamilton last year, 164 snaps in the D line. So that's right around in line, right, with Emenwerry, James, and DeJean. 355 times in the box, 298 times at slot corner, and 24 times at wide corner, 62 times at free safety. So again, the kind of real difference here is you're looking at these players that are getting the big contracts. And Hamilton played 162 times at free safety. Derwin James, 128 times at free safety. We get Josh Metellus, again, a true safety, but 350 times at free safety. And then Hamilton, 162 times. So, I think the for as much as we talk about Cooper and needing to line up at outside corner to really get paid, I think having him play safety more is another way from his team's perspective to get him paid, because these top guys are playing free safety more. And this year, I think you'll see that from him. So him moving to safety, I think, is another kind of way for his team to get him to make more money while also doing what the Eagles want from him. And it's clear that Vic Fangio wants him in the middle of the field. And for the reasons that Pro Football Focus list and the reasons we all know, I think he makes more sense on the middle of the field. Now, Another quick takeaway from the list. So the other players there were Puka Nacua, obviously the receiver for the Rams, Christian McCaffrey, the running back slash receiver for the 49ers, Colton Loveland, the tight end for the Bears, and then Travis Hunter, the wide receiver corner. Now, to me, Travis Hunter is not actually versatile because he's not really good at either position. But regardless, one thing I will just say quickly, kind of offensive side for the Eagles, how many versatile players do they have, right? Like, I guess you could say Puka is versatile because he can line up all over. I mean, they put him in the backfield. The Eagles don't really have receivers that can do that. But like Devontae can line up on the inside and outside. Dontayvion Wicks can line up on the inside and outside. I don't know if I'd consider that like versatile, but I guess they, you know, you could potentially. Mekhi Lemon, we'll see how creative they can get with him, but you don't even know if he's an NFL player at this point because like all rookies, he hasn't played in the NFL. Dallas Goedert, maybe. I mean, you know, they can split him out wide. They can put him on the line. So he would probably qualify as versatile. Saquon Barkley, not really versatile, not a great pass catcher. So I don't know. I just thought like thinking about all the versatile pieces the Eagles have and having one of the most versatile pieces in the NFL in Cooper DeJean, I did start to think, do they really have versatile pieces on offense? For as much as we think, you know, Sean Mannion's going to cook and do all these, he kind of doesn't have a versatile skill set. And that's especially true if Jalen is not going to run. So just a thought there on the offensive side of the ball. Now, on the other side, speaking of Sean Mannion, Josh Grizzard, the Eagles pass game coordinator, talked a few weeks ago. Never got a chance to really talk about it on the pod because a thousand other things were happening. So we're going to talk about what Josh Grizzard had to say. And then I found this stat about first-time play callers in the NFL a little concerning. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
The June heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is officially on the rise. Don't wait for the AC to start working overtime to realize the windows are failing. Call Window Nation now. During the June sale, buy four windows and get four free. That's right. Upgrade the entire house and get half of those windows absolutely free. Plus, get started with zero down and no payments or interest for 2 full years. The experts at Window Nation provide a weather-tight seal in just 1 day or less. Beat the heat and save big on those utility bills. Schedule your fast, free consultation today at windownation.com.
You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
All right, so the Eagles hired Josh Grizzard to be their pass game coordinator this year, a role last year held by Parks Frazier, who's now the quarterback coach. And Josh Grizzard, of course, also interviewed for the offensive coordinator job this year, which of course went to Sean Mannion, and now Josh Grizzard is on Sean Mannion's staff. And I do think they hired Josh Grizzard for a couple reasons, but one is I think they are building a safety net here in case Sean Mannion does get hired away. The WIP afternoon show last week did a topic about could Mannion take Nick's job. I think it's an interesting conversation, but I do think that if it came down to losing Sean Mannion after a successful year where then the team would be successful, let's say they get to the conference championship game or the Super Bowl or whatever, like I think they would keep Nick, let Sean Mannion go, and potentially promote from within, a plan that, boy oh boy, has not been successful for them in the past. But I think that is part of the reason they brought Grizzard in. Between him, Gerard Johnson, they have guys on the staff they feel can be really good veteran type of guys to either promote or then to put around another offensive coordinator that they might bring in. So regardless, Josh Grizzard spoke to the media a few weeks ago, and I thought there were two quotes that were interesting. Obviously not allowed to use audio for it. But these quotes, shout out to John McMullen, the Sports Illustrated, he transcribed them. So I wanted to give him the credit for that. But Josh Grizzard was asked how he felt last year calling plays helped him out as a coach, and Grizzard said, quote, tremendously. Everybody always thinks I'm ready to call plays. I'm ready to run the room. But actually doing it for the first time, it was the most fun I've ever had coaching. You're actually calling the plays. I've told people it's the first time I felt like I was playing in a game since college. I didn't play in the NFL, so it'd been a long time. That experience will help me get ahead of potential issues going forward, end quote. So I thought there were two interesting parts of this quote. The first is, like, where he goes, everyone thinks they're ready until they're actually doing it, right? Now, Josh Grizzard did not have a good last year in Tampa Bay. In fact, if you look at what Tampa Bay fans had to say about him, just kind of think what everyone said about Petullo and just picture it in the Buccaneers. Like, Buccaneers fans hated Grizzard. They were happy he was fired. They viewed him as the same as the main reason the offense struggled. And that's how Eagles fans felt about Petullo. So Grizzard's 1 year in Tampa as the primary play caller, first year as a primary play caller, did not go well. But I thought the part there where he says everyone thinks they're ready until they do it, like, obviously he felt there were some growing pains. But I also thought this part was interesting, how he felt like he was playing. And I think that's where Sean Mannion's recent time in the NFL and of playing quarterback can be an advantage to him as a first-time play caller, right? I said this about him in the press conference, and I think it sounds like it's a stretch, but I don't. Like, you could see how quick he was on his feet and just thinking and responding to questions and pivoting and answering and identifying things that were problematic questions that could cause an issue and how he got out of those, right? I think as a quarterback, you have to be a really quick thinker. You have to adjust quick. You have to be attuned to everything that's going on the field. And while Sean Mannion wasn't playing the past few years, I do think he has very recently in his life been one snap away from having to know everything. He's on the headset hearing the plays that's called. He's on the bench in between series talking about adjustments. So I think that there is a real benefit to having him just there's a real benefit to the fact that he just played. And that's what Josh Grizzard says here. It's the first time he's felt like he was playing since college. And I believe Grizzard was a former quarterback at North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. So Mannion being a quarterback recently, I think that last part definitely is helpful. The first part's concerning for sure, but that last part I think is encouraging as to why you think he could maybe hit the ground running. Mannion, I mean, more so than other play callers. Now, the other thing Grizzard had to say about helping Mannion, he said, quote, "I think for as much as he'll lean on me, whatever he needs, I'm here for him. He already has a very clear vision for how he wants to do things. And by playing as long as he did, the knowledge of this system and how he wants to attack defenses and his ability to communicate, he already does a tremendous job. So anything that he needs from my end, I'm going to be an open door for him," end quote. Now, I know that he's not going to get up there, Grizzard, and say, "Yeah, I'm mad I didn't get the job. Hopefully he fails and I can step in." Like, of course he's not going to say that. But I do think there is something to be said for the fact that it could be awkward between Grizzard, Mannion, Gerard Johnson, like guys that interviewed for the job and didn't get it, right? So there could be that awkwardness. Like, it's good to hear Grizzard say it. Whether, you know, when the bullets are flying this year, when it's truly like in it and there's struggles, we'll see how they all get along. But it is good to hear him say that. Now, his part about first-time play caller and learning on the job and how, you know, everyone thinks they're ready kind of until they do it, I wanted to look at how first-time play callers did in 2025. So last year, and look, I know this can be a little complicated, right? Like, some teams have head coaches that are clearly the play callers, but they have an offensive coordinator. But according to ESPN, there were four first-time play callers last year. The Jets had a first-time play caller, the Texans, the Eagles, obviously, and the Buccaneers. So two of the four here really attached to the Eagles with Petullo and Grizzard. So with the Texans, it was Nick Cayley. And with the Jets, it was Tanner Engenstrand, I believe is how you pronounce his name. I'm sure everyone will say that's wrong. But here's the concerning part. The Jets last year, 29th in points, 17.6. The Texans, 13th, the best here on this list, 23.7. But everyone agrees the Texans offense was disappointing last year, especially with CJ Stroud. Kevin Petullo with the Eagles, we know, 19th, 22 points per game. And then Josh Grizzard with the Buccaneers, 18th at 22.4. So the Eagles and Buccaneers were right next to each other. The Jets fired their offensive coordinator. The Eagles fired their offensive coordinator. The Buccaneers fired their offensive coordinator. Only the Texans held on to a second to give Nick Cayley another shot at the job. So you look overall what first-year play callers did. They averaged 21.4 points, which would have been 20th in the NFL. Now, look, I can already hear you guys saying it. The Jets don't have talent. The Buccaneers, the Jets don't have talent. But the Texans have talent. The Eagles had talent. The Buccaneers had talent, right? The Buccaneers have great receivers and the Texans have a ton of weapons. CJ Stroud, well, you know, you can debate how good he is, but he's had years where he's been really good in the NFL. The Jets, we get that, right? Like, get it. But I think it is concerning that you look at the first-time play callers last year, three of the four were fired and none of them had good years. Like, even though the Texans were 13th in the league in points, that's not that impressive. Now, you also look at some second-year play callers last year. Brian Callahan, the Titans' second-year play caller last year, they were 27th in 2024. They held on to him. They were 30th the following year in 2025. Zach Robinson, 13th in 2024. Good year, right? Like, similar to Nick Caley. 23rd the following year. So you just look at it, right? Out of it's just 1 year, but none were in the top 10 in only one of the eight different seasons here, right? So the first times last year and then the two seasons for Callahan and Robinson. Only one has been in the top eight in the only two has been in the top half of the league. So not super encouraging. Like, first year coordinators really struggled last year, and some of the first year coordinators from 2024 came back in 2025 and weren't good. Now, look, there have been good first-year coordinators. I'm not going to act like there's never been a good first-year coordinator in the NFL. But I think this is some good perspective for people. Like, it is hard to be a first-year play caller. And with the extreme lack of experience Mannion has, there are absolutely going to be growing pains. And so the question comes down to what we always have asked on this pod 80,000 times this offseason. Will they stick with it? And will Mannion be given a second year if he struggles? And those are questions we won't have the answer to for a while, but it'll be interesting to take the ride together this season on how the offense does. All right, that'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds. Go out, turn on the WIP morning show, your boy is there, and then check out the afternoon show later as I'll be going over my top 11. So that'll do it for today's episode. Until next time, he's Elliot, I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
The June heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is officially on the rise. Don't wait for the AC to start working overtime to realize the windows are failing. Call Window Nation now. During the June sale, buy four windows and get four free. That's right. Upgrade the entire house and get half of those windows absolutely free. Plus, get started with zero down and no payments or interest for 2 full years. The experts at Window Nation provide a weather-tight seal in just 1 day or less. Beat the heat and save big on those utility bills. Schedule your fast, free consultation today at windownation.com.